Amen. Hallelujah. All right, let's just say a word of prayer. Please, could you put them on? Father, in the name of Jesus Christ, we thank you for this great gathering. We thank you for the presence of your Spirit. Thank you for all that you've done throughout this conference. And we thank you for the seal that you're going to place upon everything tonight. And thank you for the transformation that has come into the lives of people, the impact and the fruits that this convention shall bear in the lives of people. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, I briefly just want to share on something, and it's to help us going forward. If we turn to Acts chapter 14 and verse, just a word for us concerning the conference, Acts 14 and verse 15. And what I want to share on is men of like passion. It says in Acts 14, 15, what had happened was Paul had worked a miracle on a man that was born crippled. And the people wanted to turn them into gods. In fact, in verse 12, they called Barnabas and Jupiter and Paul Mercurius because he was the chief speaker. And in verse 15, Paul was dissuading them and said, "Sirs, why do you do these things? We also are men of like passions like you." In other words, he said, "Don't place this distinction upon us as though we are in a class by ourselves. We are men of like passion. Whatever you feel in your body, we also feel these things. Whatever you go through every single day, we also go through it every single day." But there must have been something that Paul and Barnabas knew, that these other folks that wanted to turn them into gods did not know. And it tells us all in James that Elijah was a man of like passion like you, which means that there wasn't that distinction upon him. You know, it would have been very easy for Jesus to have put himself in a class by himself. When he spoke to the fig tree and it withered away from the roots, and they came to meet Jesus, Jesus said, "You can do this also, and even more than this." And he said, "Look, whosoever shall say," everybody is a whosoever. It says, "shall have whatsoever," which means a whosoever can have whatsoever, provided these conditions are fulfilled. Now, I'm saying this, I just want to leave a thought with people at the end of this convention, because I remember Bishop Aremu, when he was speaking, told a testimony of when he started the church, that's Living Faith Church in Ibadan. And he said one day he told a deacon of his, or in the church, that he wanted to go to the city center to make declarations. And the deacon said, "I'll follow you." So he said, "I got there to the city center in Ibadan, and it was about 8 p.m., and they began to speak, and they were calling forth men into the church. And he said, the next Sunday, they didn't print one handbill, they didn't advertise in any way. He said the people that were coming were so many that they had to shut the gate after the first service and shut the gate again after the second service. But the point I'm making was that he kept saying, I was an accountant. This was what an accountant did. I had no real formal training. It's an accountant that did this. And then he went further and said, listen, those of you that are in business, are in the marketplace, even need to be somewhat, you know, more spiritual. I mean, we'll just use analogy, that even us that are in the ministry, because there are challenges that you will face. But he kept saying that I'm a man of like passion like you. So don't say that this thing is just in a class of its own. So there are two things I want to show. And I want people to take these as you go. That what was it about Paul and Barnabas? What was it? Why is it that some people struggle with things and struggle? And this man just went out, and what happened was a man who was born crippled from his mother's womb. They spoke to that man, and the man jumped up on his feet, and the whole city wanted to turn them and idolize them. The point is this. The divine nature that is inside you only begins to work the way it is supposed to work when you connect it to serving others. You see, if you have a consumer mindset, this is where the struggle is, and you are using faith for just your own personal profit and personal gain, you will not find it in Scripture. They used their faith there to help a man born crippled to get on his feet. They said, look, we are men of like passion. But what happened was that they directed that thing outside of themselves, and they directed it to meeting the needs of people. If you look at Jesus, the first time Jesus manifested the divine nature, where the Bible says, and this was the beginning of the miracles of Jesus, where the glory of God was manifested in his life, Jesus used his faith to meet the needs of people. It wasn't that he wanted to drink wine. It was that wine finished in a marriage feast. And there was a need outside there, and Jesus exercised his faith to help people that were in need. So if leaving this ground here, don't think in terms of I came, I was believing God, you know, for a job, I was believing God, you know, for a car, I was believing God, you know, for this. Turn that faith loose, all right, in helping other people, in ministering to the needs of other people, in praying for other people, in reaching out and standing in that gap. That is the secret there to the miraculous. You know, in Exodus chapter 4, verse 22 to verse 23, when God was going to deliver Israel, he said, go and meet Pharaoh and tell Pharaoh, Israel is my firstborn. Israel is my son. And what did he say? Let my son go that he may serve me. In other words, they were to be released from bondage and enter into that fullness of their relationships as sons, but it was to be used in the service there. In other words, if you are thinking in terms of, you know, what I will gain for my own self, then what will happen is that you'll be making affirmations about, you know, the nature of God on the inside of you, the divine life that is there, but you're not going to see that thing expressed and flown out within your life, and you'll be wondering why other people speak and it seems that things happen. The issue is they are connected, all right, to the service of God, either vertically towards God or horizontally towards men. On no occasion whatsoever will you find Jesus, all right, working any miracle that had to do with his own personal needs or had to do with his own personal advancement. But you will see the miraculous power. It says how God anointed Jesus with the Holy Ghost and power, and he went about doing good, healing all that were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. So I'm getting to a point. You say, what about my pressing needs that are in my life? What about the things, all right, that, you know, I really need? You know, I don't have a job, I don't have this, I don't have that. And what about those needs? Then how do I appropriate that? Do I leave that and you know, I'm disconnected from my own self, and then I'm trying just to help other people. Here is the point that you need to get, which he says about the kingdom. When Jesus was going to introduce the kingdom, he said, look, don't pray like the heathen do. The heathen pray, and they talk about what they need, what we will eat, what we will drink, what we will wear. He said, yes, these needs around you will provoke you to pray. But the content of your own prayer should be different. And what you should understand in God is this. Anytime there is a pressing need in your life, and I want to leave you with this. Anytime there is a pressing need in your life, anytime there is something that seems unresolved in your life, it is the movement of God in the waters of your life. In other words, when Peter toiled all night and caught nothing, that was the platform upon which they entered into that apostolic ministry. And I think I shared this some time back at a conference, that when Moses saw the bush that was burning and it wasn't consumed, and if you are going through situations where the bush, all right, your life is, seems you're going through all that, but you're not consumed, which means there is a strength that just keeps you there. You thought it will be over, but you are still there. You think that, you know, I want to give up, but you are still there. I remember when we started the church and the ministry, and there are times when I look at it and ask myself, you know, God, did you really call me into this thing? And there was just that strength on the inside. It wasn't me again. It was the Spirit of God that was just there in me, that just kept me there. But it was deeper than that. And I didn't get what exactly I should have prayed, which is a kingdom prayer. So what did Moses do? And this is the lesson. The Bible says when Moses turned aside, he said, let me turn aside, which means I'm looking at this from one perspective. The word turn aside means let me look at it from another perspective. I was just looking at it as my bush is burning, it's not consumed, the bush is burning. He said, when he turned aside, the Bible says, and when God saw that Moses turned, which means Moses said, and this was the turn that Moses made, he said, let me see why this bush that is burning is not consumed, which means why do I have this particular thing in my life? It is not just come and do this thing, but there is a reason behind this. Why is it, you ask yourself, people that don't even pray, have, you know, jobs and all of that, have all these things. But in my own case, you know, I pray, I fast, I do all of this. The issue is why. There's an assignment that is locked. And that's what Jesus was saying. He said, seek ye first the kingdom. There's an assignment that is locked there. So what you should do is to go up to God. Instead of saying, what will I eat? What will I drink? What will I wear? He said, come and knock on the door of heaven and knock and ask him, what exactly is the assignment in my life that is tied up to this particular need that is within me? What is it that you want me to get to see? Because as you begin to knock and you begin to knock, what will happen is God will open that door. He said, knock and the door shall be opened. The same way it tells us that in heaven a door was opened. Paul said a door was opened unto me. He said there were many adversaries, but a door was opened. What God wants to do is to open up a door to you. In other words, there's a door in the spirit that he wants to open up. When I was a young Christian, Reverend Emeka Amushuka, one day he told me, he said, listen. He said, I don't understand why there's so much competition in ministry. He said, there are many assignments. People just don't know. He said, if they go up to God and go and ask for their own assignment, they will get it. Which means this thing should be about purpose, not just about me, my needs being met and all of that. And so you go up, that there's a stirring in the waters of my life, and you start knocking and you wait on God. What's this door? What is it that you want to open up unto me? And what happens is, when that door is opened up, yes, you will get the job. Yes, you will get that particular thing. But you will find out that the purpose there is much higher than just all of those things. Your eyes of your understanding has been opened up to the hope of his calling upon your life, and you will see something. So when you enter through that particular door, all right, and you go through it, Yes, all the needs will be met, but the most important thing, which means Peter went with the mindset of catching fish. When Jesus opened up the door and showed him what his assignment was, he gave him an abundance of fish, but he was totally detached from the fish. He left the fish and followed Jesus. So even when God blesses you with all of that and the results come, you'll be detached from those things there, and it's that assignment there that you will see. And when you see that assignment, you will start speaking and things will happen. You will make pronouncements, and with ease, you are going to have manifestations within your life. So let's not leave this place here. And that's why he says we are men of like passion. But the issue is that we are ordinary. There's nothing to us. But the issue here is that a door has been opened up. So please don't leave these grounds there and then come back next year again believing for the same set of things. Or I go to him in prayer. We're going on a fast shortly after this. And go and knock on the door. What is the assignment? Knock on the door. What is the assignment here? God, what is it? And in every field, in the marketplace, everywhere, God is looking for apostles there, which means sent ones. Those are what apostles are. People that have entered into something and they are intentional about that particular thing. So let's shift our minds away, and that's when the divine nature that has been locked up on the inside of you, you know, starts getting released. That's when the anointing will begin to work. That's when out of your belly will begin to flow rivers of living water. You went for your own personal need because you were thirsty to drink. But then out of your own belly there, all right, will begin to flow rivers of living water. We've quoted the scripture before. Romans chapter 4, verse 3 tells us that when Abraham entered into what God was doing for his life, that was the turning point. And the turning point in your life, all right, is when you enter into what God, all right, wants to do in your own life. You come into sync with him. All right, that's where that righteousness comes in, which means you are in right standing in that way. You've entered into what God wants to do. And if you're under the sound of my voice, and you've got to a place where everything has stagnated, which means the last phase of your life, you are doing well. With ease, things were moving. And suddenly it looks like everything has ceased. And you can see on the horizon that everything seems to have stagnated. It means that a new door has been opened up for you in heaven. Go and knock on that door there in heaven and say, Lord, what is it? What's the next assignment? What is the next assignment? Because God can be a provider, and a raven comes to feed you. But the same God that is a provider, the brook dries up, and then it's somewhere else from the widow there. All right, you are going to have. And it wasn't about the widow. In fact, when he went to the widow, it wasn't about the widow getting a need. It wasn't about him getting his needs met. It was about that widow there, all right, saving the life of that widow and ministering to that particular widow. So let's get into the flow, all right, of the Holy Spirit and get into it. And don't just think in terms of, you know, just my own need. God, whatever is going on in your life at this present moment is an indication from heaven that look, there's an assignment. There is something he wants to do. And if you go and start knocking, and you go there and you begin to knock, what happens is you say, God, I'm here. Speak to me. It's not just about me getting a job. What is it? He will show you 30 years ahead. He will show you 10 years ahead. I'm saying this is the difference. People are self-centered in their appropriation of the promises. Some people are assignment and purpose centered there, which means they are thinking about the assignment. And he says that when I sent you, did you lack anything? And that's the power there of being sent, which means you are sent by God, right, to do certain things on the earth. And so you are moving into that. So the first is about, you know, knocking and having that door opened. And the second thing that you need to understand, when he says men of like passion, what actually brings the distinction, right, is not that these people have three heads, or, you know, they don't feel what you feel, or, you know, they don't. I mean, Paul was not, you know, Paul showed us his vulnerability there. He told us, he said, look, when Epaphroditus was sick, he said that God may have mercy upon me. He said, God had mercy, lest I should have sorrow upon sorrow. He showed us his humanity. And look, if we don't get to that part of the humanity, and he showed it, he talked about the fact that, you know, we had the sentence of death upon ourselves and we gave up hope in ourselves. But God, all right, he said, God, who delivers and will deliver. In other words, they went up to God and God opened up something. So the second thing about manifesting this divine nature, James said, Elijah was a man of like passion like you, but he prayed earnestly. As you leave these grounds, this is what happened. Elijah heard the sound of the abundance of rain. Many of you have heard sounds in your spirit. You've heard sounds of the abundance of rain throughout this meeting. Elijah told Ahab, go and eat and drink. In other words, you go and eat and drink, which means he didn't eat and drink. He went into a fast. And he put his face between his knees there and began to pray. And stayed there in the place of prayer until something happened in the realm of the spirit. And then he came back. And it looked like magic to other people. When you come back and say, the rain is about to fall, get on your chariot. And let me say this. I was preaching somewhere. I went to train one of the most senior ministers in this country. And two of them were seated there when I was doing training for their pastors. And I said something, and two of them went, ha! I'm talking, you could see. I said, in this country, many people heard the sound, but few people birthed that sound and converted that sound into actual rain. And that even the carriers of the sound sometimes did not birth what they preached. Are you following what I'm saying here? So you may hear the sound. Elijah didn't tell Ahab, get on your chariots. I've heard the sound of the abundance of rain. He said, go and eat and drink. The time has not come to move. Then he went into prayer. Then after he got the signal in the spirit, he said, now get on your chariots. This rain is about to fall. And the manifestation came. So let us not be like people that is written in the book of Jude, clouds without water. In other words, full of promise. They hear you speak. They hear you do things. And they say, this person has potential for the future. But that potential never really materializes. They hear you, all right, do stuff. And they know you are talented, you are gifted. But it never materializes. You know, Kerman said something. He said, when he began, before he blew up, if you know, if you're an old Christian, what you call an OG, you know Kerman, all right? He said he shot himself for 4 months and stayed in the place of prayer. He said it was those 4 months that totally transformed his entire life, that he locked the door and stayed in the place of prayer until something happened there. And when he came out, it became a global ministry. So please, don't leave these grounds and leave this conference, you know, and just gist and share what you heard and talk and all of that. It's time others can eat and drink. It's time to convert that sound into actual rain. Go into the place of fasting and prayer, I'm telling you. I said this during the conference, God is my witness. God in heaven is my witness. The most anointed people I met saw in this country never manifested. God in heaven is my witness. If you lived in Ibadan, I was in a one place, small place. A young man came in 1988 and began to prophesy. He stood before me. All this thing that is going on, he was prophesying it. Then he stopped at one point. He said, I will not continue to speak so that you will use faith to birth what is in the future. He said, but I have given you enough knowledge here to know what is going to happen and come to pass. I don't know where that guy is today. He was flowing in the gifts. Listen, it's important not just to have the promise within, but to birth that particular promise within your life. So let's not just make this another conference where we came, we enjoyed, we ate spiritual meat, we drank spiritual drink. You know, your knowledge base increased. All right, enter into your chamber and womb of prayer immediately after this conference. Get into it. And in the prayer, it shouldn't be, God, bless me with this. Ask him, what's the assignment that is locked up to this particular thing? What's the assignment on my life? All this thing that happened was just to get my attention. There was an assignment. The nation of Israel would not be in existence today if Abraham, the Sarah's womb was not closed. Sarah was thinking about a child. God was thinking about making him a father of many nations. Once there's anything going on in your life, know that is the place of the assignment. Know that God, that's where it is. Don't just go and ask for your need to be met. Go and ask for the assignment. You'll find out that your need is a fraction of that particular assignment. That's why he said, all these things shall be added unto you. So let's get into the place of purpose. Reverend Jonathan Shuttlesworth is here. He can know, and this is what got me to him. Here, the word of faith message, I repeat. Reverend Emeko told me in 1987. He said, we have discovered the message that will bring the second coming of Jesus Christ. He said, we have found it. This thing will bear the second coming of Christ. Because for the first time, Christians had the tool to produce things. They could know, they could speak to mountains. They didn't need their pastors to pray. They knew, whosoever shall say to this mountain, be thou removed. Hey, whosoever can have whatsoever he says. They knew it. But Satan came in and turned that message into consumer message. In other words, what I will eat, what I will drink, what I will wear. Instead of going into purpose, look at the people that used the message and got massive breakthrough. Have you ever heard them say with their mouth, I was believing God? Have you ever heard them? You will hear them say, we want nations for Christ. We want to win this. It's always about purpose, all right? And purpose has to be revealed to you. And if you can find people in the marketplace that will discover purpose, listen, that is the little leaven that leavens the entire lump. That is the kingdom. You will be here today. In 8 years or 7 years' time, you'll be global. You'll be wondering, how did this all happen? The leaven is what is called what? Assignment. Which means the assignment that God gives. God bless you all.